Okay, is everybody awake? So I want to ask you to do something. You have to be awake to do it. I want you just to let your mind wander back in time. For some of us, we'll have to go a little bit further back than others. But let your mind go back in time and picture your grammar school or your elementary school, whatever you call it in your time. Like, you know, where you went to school from first grade to sixth, seventh grade. Picture like fourth grade-ish. And see yourself. See your school. See your, what were you wearing? I was trying to remember. In fourth grade, I might have been wearing my Brownie uniform. Maybe Bobby socks. Maybe you were wearing a Daniel Boone cap. Maybe a Barbie t-shirt. Just picture what you looked like. And then I want you to see yourself the night before school started for that fall semester. And even though you would never admit it, your stomach is in a knot. You're cool and you're saying, it's okay, I'm just going back to school. But you have all these questions in your head. What time does the bus come in the morning? Will I miss it? Who's going to be my teacher? Are there going to be any new kids at school? Will I have to sit next to them and say something to them? What are you supposed to line up for the lunchroom? What if I get lost? What if I wet my pants? Ooh. Oh my gosh. There was just so much to think about. When I was in grammar school, we called it grammar then. It was the building as you're going into Bowden from Carrollton on College Street. I think now it's the food ministry, if I'm not mistaken. But that was the grammar school. I remember that building. I can still smell that building. I know exactly what that building was like when I was there. It was right across the street from my friend Mignon's Daddy's filling station. And it had an auditorium, and there were these wooden theater-like seats that you have to put down, and two of us would sit in each seat. We would double up as we sang Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and Glow Worm, Little Glow Worm. The floors were this oily wood, and the janitor would throw this sawdust on it before he cleaned it to make it easier to sweep. I remember there was a Coke machine close to the principal's office, and we could actually get Cokes out of it, and we'd get little bags of salted peanuts and put them down in the Coke. You know what I'm saying? I remember, too, getting a paddling in fifth grade, but that's another very unfortunate story. Maybe I'll put a story in that one of these days, but not today. When I was a kid, I don't think they sold, like, summer clothes for going back to school. You know, we'd make our, one of our two trips to Atlanta, our two yearly trips to Atlanta to go to Rich's or to Davidson's or to Thompson Bowling Lady to get shoes. And when you went, everything was already corduroy or these thick blue jeans that you rolled up at the bottom so they would last just a little bit longer. And long sleeve shirts, saddle ops. But on that first day of school, you better believe we put those clothes on. Because they were new. They were back to school clothes and they were cool. We were cool when we had them on. But we were not. We were anything but. We couldn't wait in the afternoon. We were burning up. We'd come home and strip those things off and put on our shorts and t-shirts. The most fun I can remember about going back to school was the stuff you had in your little pencil box. You know? I don't know that. I don't remember if I had a pencil box or not. I think I had probably a cigar box with all my stuff in it. But I just loved the feel of all that stuff. The crayons and the scissors and the notebooks and the pencil sharpeners and everything. We didn't have backpacks there, but we had book satchels. And we'd put all that in our book satchel and we'd have our lunch in this hand and our books in this hand. I just loved it. It gave me this sense of hope. Do you remember having that sense of hope about going to school? It was a brand new year. And I was a brand new person. And even though I might have been scared to death, I was going to be perfect every day of that school year. I was going to know the answer to every question. I was going to make 100 on every test. I was going to do my homework every night. I was going to be the teacher's pet and get to go out and clean the erasers on the rock in the Baptist school. My friends were just going to marvel. And they were going to say, who is this? And what have you done with Martha? But see, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know how this newfound success was going to happen. I didn't know. But I just had faith that it would. Even though I had never been at the top of my class before, this was the year when it was going to happen. You can't help from thinking that when you're packing that little pencil box and you're perfectly positioning the glue and the scissors and the extra erasers and the pencil sharpener. You just know that all is well. You can smell it. You can feel it. You got this. It's a brand new year. Well, those days are gone. And now we're grown-ups. And we are the church. But on this particular Sunday, I want us to claim that this is the first day of school. Our United Methodist General Council, our General Conference, is over. Y'all have been hearing about this for the last week and a half. It's been going on in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been waiting for it for 8 years since it was canceled during COVID. I know all the delegates who went must be exhausted. I know I'd take the day off from church if I had been there and it was just getting home. They did a lot of work. We saw a video in Sunday school. It was our Bishop Bees, who was sort of talking to the churches. And she said that this was the most grace-filled and respectful general conference that any of them had ever attended. I heard a lot of people interviewed online, and every one of them said the same thing, that you could just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in that place where they could gather. And all the work they had to do just came together in a way that could not have happened without the presence of God. So, in a very real sense, this is the beginning of a brand new United Methodist Church for us. Now, there's not time in this sermon for me to tell you all that took place. But what I can tell you is that we're a more streamlined church now. We're smaller. A lot of our brothers and sisters have left to go to the Global Methodist or to other denominations or churches that they have chosen to create. The budget's smaller for us now. Our administrative staffs and agencies are made up of fewer people. But I can also tell you that much of the negativity that kept us struggling and trying to come up for bread have moved on. We're fewer people, but we are now all included. We are now all equal with the passing by a huge majority of the bill that will remove all language around homosexuality from our discipline, our rule book. United Methodist Church invites anyone who is called of God to start the process of being open. It gives our churches authority to have same-sex weddings in our sanctuary if we desire. It's our choice whether or not we want to do that. It's kind of like the national level of states' rights. Local churches get to decide. Clergy have the freedom now to officiate same-sex marriages if they choose. They don't have to, but they have the authority to. It was, as one woman said, as if finally we were completely authentic every time we said that we are a church with open hands and open minds and open doors. This change in our church makes it easier for us to be the people that God needs us to be. With no apology. It's like first day of school. Now, I don't know what that's going to look like around here at this church. I mean, we could easily stay just exactly the same as we are. For small churches like ours, there's nothing that happened at General Conference that requires us to do anything differently. We can maintain the status quo till the cows come home and nobody will get on to us. We'll be fine. We'll be in good standing with everyone. But I hope that won't be the case. Because y'all, God is doing a new thing in the United Methodist Church. There's just no doubt about that. And God needs us to do it with Him. I think God needs us, this is the way I would word it, He needs us to put ourselves aside, to get over ourselves, and simply to trust Him, right? And to stop doing the things that we think are right, that we want to do, but simply to follow Him and to serve Him. To go out into the world and be a little bit kinder. I know y'all are kind, but just a little bit kinder so that people notice it just a little bit more. I think that God wants us from the bottom of our hearts to give a darn about other people, you know? To really be willing to walk in their shoes, to help them move. Even if it means our doing with just a little bit less so that they can have a little bit more. This new thing that God is doing is a good thing. And God needs us to go out into the world and just love. It's not a hard chore, is it? To go out into the world and simply love in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember what the song says, they will know we are Christians by our love. So from what I've been reading, and we're all just in the process of this first day of school kind of thing, here's what love is going to look like in this new, smaller, more diverse United Methodist Church that's just being born. And is just beginning to find its way. It's going to look like a church that we see through the eyes of a new generation. Of people who are not over 65. But people who are younger. And see the world in a different way than we perhaps do, those of us who are a bit older. It's going to look like justice. It's going to look like mercy. And it's going to look like fairness. And I think it's going to be a church who's not afraid to talk about the issues that affect us. We don't have to speak opinionatively about issues that, you know, we either talk about a lot or we don't talk about at all for fear of being judged. Issues like immigration. It's important. Issues like war and how people's lives are truly being affected. It's going to be a church as we move forward in time, as we move forward into the kingdom of God, a church who doesn't want to fool around, doesn't have time to just go through the motions like we often have in the past. But a church who is determined to seek justice and fairness for Black communities and Hispanic communities in our country. For older adults who are abused by caregivers. For children who are hungry. For young men who are addicted and incarcerated time after time after time after time. It's going to be a church that is interested in issues like bullying and sex trafficking and abuse and poverty and good medical care for all. A church who's interested in the lame and the lost and the last and people who are hurting and need the love of Jesus Christ. That, after all, is the life of Jesus, right? And nothing less than Jesus will do in this new thing that God is doing. Now, y'all, I'm just imagining what you're thinking as you're listening to me make this list. I think I'm with you. It sounds like we're getting involved in all that stuff that would be just downright exhausting. You know? We're just a little mini church and a little community halfway between Newton and Carrollton. What can we do? How can we make a difference? Why should we even think about it? I'm going to tell you why. Well, no, actually, John is going to tell you about why. Our scripture today is telling us something that is very like that feeling I had so long ago on that night before school started the next day. I knew that I was going to be more. I knew that I was going to be the best that I could be. I had no idea how I was going to get there, but I had faith that I would. What I didn't know then, and what I do know now, is this. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. Remember what commandment Jesus gave us, don't you? Love the Lord with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul, love your neighbor, love yourself. And His commandments are not burdensome, says 1 John. For whatever is of God conquers the world. Did you hear that? Whatever is of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world. Our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? See, y'all, here's what I'm saying. Or here's what I'm trying to say on this first day of school. To love the world, it's the job of the church, by the way, to be the church. To love the world is messy, isn't it? It's not simple. I know that. I'm not naive. Look, all I have to do is to stand here and say, Black Lives Matter. And all these little fences go up, don't they? All these little defenses. You can't say that, but. The world is hard to understand, and it's surely hard to love. John knew that too. And he's telling us that in order to love the world, our first step is to love Jesus. Right? He will do the rest if we will stay out of His way. When we surrender to Him, when we are able to let go of our egos and our experiences and even our needs, when we obey His commandments, then John says, we will be okay. What He asks us to do will not be a burden. There will never be a time in this church when we say, oh, we can't do that. Because we won't even think about doing those things. We'll think about doing the things that God leads us to be and to do, to be exactly perfect for us. And it will be pure joy. Why? Because we will be one. can't wait. So the table waits for us today. It's a table that we have shared many times before, that you have shared with other congregations before. It's all the same table. It's a universal table that Jesus Christ hosts for us. It's the table where I knelt on my skinned up knees when I was 10 years old at Bowden Methodist Church. At the Sunday after that first Monday of school, when I was going to be so perfect, and already I got in trouble by Wednesday. Jesus Christ, though, was with me. And even though in school I was never the smartest or the prettiest or the most popular or the best in anything, I was me. Just me. And it was enough. Now, we are enough. The church comes to this table to be reminded of that. We are enough. We are enough because we are in Christ. And Christ will show us the way. And all God's people sit. Amen. Amen. Amen.